this side. You can come on this. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vana Chara Yamuna te Ravana chare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhare Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhare Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhare Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna te Ravana chare Yamuna te Ravana chare Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Vivasade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Vallabha Radha Vallabha Radhe. Jaya Jagannatha, Jaya Jagannatha, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra Devi. Jaya Jagannatha, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra Devi. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Nithai Gaura Premananda. Jayavom Vishnupadaya Paramahamsa Paribarakracharya Astotara Abhyacharanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Kijay ISKCON Founder Acharya Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Kijay Shri Shri Jagannath Valade Sabhadra Marani Kijay Shri Shri Gaurnita Kijay Shri Shri Radha Valla Bhagavani Kijay. All glories of the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri 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 Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 17. Titled Mother Parvati Curses Chitraketu, text number 15. Ata papiyasim yonim. Ata papiyasim yonim. Asuram yadi durmate. Asurim yadi durmate. Yati ha buyo mahatam. Yati ha buyo mahatam. నాకర్తపుత్రకిల్బిషం నాకర్తపుత్రకిల్మిషం అతాపాపియసిం యోనిం అతాపాపియసిం యోనిం ఆసురిం యాహి దుర్మతే ఆసురిం యాహి దుర్మతే యతీహ భూయో మహతాం యతీహ భూయో మహతాం నా కర్త పుత్ర కిల్బిషం నా కర్త పుత్ర కిల్బిషం అతాపాప్యసిం యోనిం ఆసిరం యాహి దుర్మతే యహదియా భూయో మహతాం అతాపాప్యసిం యోనిం అతాపాప్యసిం word to word translation atha therefore papiyasin most sinful yonim to the species of life asiram demonic yahi go durmate o impudent one yata so that iha in this world buya again మహతాన్ టు గ్రేట్ పర్సనాలిటీస్ నా నాట్ కర్త విల్ కమిట్ పుత్ర మై డియర్ సన్ కిల్బిషం ఎనీ ఆఫెన్స్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ ఓ ఇంపుడెంట్ వన్ My dear son, now take birth in a low, sinful family of demons so that you will not commit such an offense again towards exalted, saintly persons in this world. So we'll repeat the translation. Oh, impudent one, my dear son, now take birth in a low, sinful family of demons so that you will not commit such an offense again towards exalted saintly persons in this world. Translation, almost page So let's listen carefully what Srila Prabhupada is going to say. One should be very careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of Vaishnavas, of whom Lord Shiva is the best. While instructing Srila Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava as Hathi Mata, a mad elephant. When a mad elephant enters a nice garden, it spoils the entire garden. Similarly, if one becomes like a mad elephant and commit offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, his entire spiritual career is altered. One should therefore be very careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Mother Parvati, next paragraph. Mother Parvati was justified in punishing Chitraketu, for Chitraketu impudently criticized the Supreme Father Mahadeva, who is the father of the living entities conditioned within the material world. The goddess Durga is called Mother, and Lord Shiva is called Father. A pure Vaishnava should be very careful to engage in a specific duty without criticizing others. This is the safest position. Otherwise, if one needs to criticize others, he may commit the great offense of criticizing a Vaishnava. Because Chitraketu was undoubtedly a Vaishnava, he might have been surprised that Parvati has cursed him. Therefore, the goddess Parvati addressed him as Putra, or son. Everyone is a son of Mother Durga, but she is not an ordinary mother. As soon as there is a small discrepancy in a demon's behavior, Mother Durga immediately punishes the demon so that he may come to the senses. This is explained by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 7.14. Devahisi gunamayi mama maya durattaya mam evahi prapatyante mayam etam tarantati. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. To surrender to Krishna means to surrender to his devotees also, for no one can be a proper servant of Krishna unless he is a proper servant of the devotees. Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Mitrara Payechi Keba. Without serving a servant of Krishna, one cannot be elevated to being a servant of Krishna himself. Therefore, Mother Parvati spoke to Chitraketu exactly like a mother who says to her naughty child, "My dear child, I am punishing you so that you won't do anything like this again." This tendency of a mother to punish a child is found even in Mother Yashoda, who became the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mother Yashoda punished Krishna by binding him and showing him a stick. Thus, it's a duty of a mother to chastise a beloved son, even in the case of a Supreme Lord. It is to be understood that Mother Durga was justified in punishing Chitraketu. This punishment was a boon to Chitraketu because after taking birth as demon, Vitrasura, he was promoted directly to Vaishnava. Om Agyana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Ena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manopisam Sapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Tadatiswa Padantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhinityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Ram Ram. Yeah, Haribol, you have to maintain some silence over the last, please, okay? No talking around. So what is the context now? What's the context? In this chapter, chapter 17, what's happening so far? Okay. Chitraketu, King Chitraketu, after having darshan of Lord Sankarshan, he received a secondary benefit. What is the secondary benefit? Vidyadharas. King of Vidyadharas. Now, after getting that position, it's like a Siddha. Siddha Loka, or whatever you call. You know, so much mystic potency. He can do anything he wants. This much of opulence he got because he saw Lord Sankarshan, and Lord Sankarshan left. Then he got this planet of Vidyadhara where he can go around in an aeroplane given by the Lord with his fellow mates and mostly including women. But he was not carried away. Why? He was constantly chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So when one chants Krishna's name, then one will be already in bliss. They did not have to look something external, because already they got the pleasure. So as he was happily going around from one place to another place in the outer space, constantly moving, because he's got a flight which doesn't need a petrol. You don't need a fuel. Yeah? You need not have to come down and put unleaded petrol. Yeah? He can constantly go from place to place. During that time, at one instance, what happened? Just over Mount Sumeru, Lord Shiva was speaking Bhagavatam class to his great associates, who are great sages, very elevated sages, who were not on the bodily platform at all. When Lord Shiva was giving the discourse, it happened that his wife, dear wife, Mother Parvati, was sitting on his lap. And Shiva was giving classes, spiritual discourses, to the audience. Everyone, all the audiences, they kept quiet. They were listening, okay? Like you people, except some of them. All of them were quiet and they're listening. But Chitraketu Maharaj was flying in the aeroplane. He saw this very unusual sight. I have never seen great personalities embracing their wife when they give discourses. This is tendency, normal tendency. I have never seen. But today, I could see Lord Shiva with his wife next to that, and then he's giving. Little did he realize that this is anything he does on Lord Shiva is going to backfire on him. So what he did, he laughed and jokingly he criticized and he passed on some comments. You're talking to me or? I'm talking loudly, right? Parishit Maharaj. Chitraketu Maharaj. Okay. Alright. It said laughedly, but anyway. Okay.
Louder.
You're talking to me or what? I'm talking louder. Can you hear or not? Okay. Alright. So, what's happening is, when Chitraketu Maharaj laughed and criticized, basically in a joking manner. We are going to analyze a few aspects and then it will be clear to you, okay? Then, at that time, Shiva did not mind it. Lord Shiva did not mind it. But his wife, dear wife Parvati, was very upset. She was thinking, oh, you're basically ridiculing my exalted husband, who is a Vaishnava. And therefore, she cursed him to become a demon, which is going to happen very soon. So this is a scenario, what's happened. We are going to see something different today. So this is a scenario. Now, before we go into that scenario, what I want to say, why did Chitraketu act in that way? Because Chitraketu, having seen Lord Sankarshan, he had developed little bit of pride because he saw the Lord face to face and also got this secondary benefit as a king of Vidyadhara. So slightly was puffed up, very slightly. And therefore, because of that pride, what happened? Because of the false pride, you tend to disrespect a person. It happens most of the time, right? Because of false pride, you tend to disrespect a person. When a person or when an exalted person is disrespected, then what happens? That will lead to an offense, aparad. So this is what has happened. Okay. Now what is aparad? What's the meaning of that? Offenses. Yeah. Appa means not, negative. Rad means affection, so no affection. He's going to commit offenses, basically. So, this is a scenario. So, today, we are going to see three relationships. Yeah? Guys, are all ready? We are going to see three relationships and how those relationships are interconnected and how that led to the consequences. Okay? So only three relationships which is involved in this episode. The first relationship is between Lord Shiva and King Chitraketu in a friendly manner. It's a friendly relationship. A friendship-based relationship. Why? Because Lord Shiva and King Chitraketu both are devotees of Lord Sankarshan. And Chitraketu considered Lord Shiva as a senior godbrother. And therefore, we are going to see the first relationship between friends. Okay? What has triggered and how it is erupting. Then the second relationship we are going to see is between Mother Parvati and Chitraketu, because Parvati is the one who cursed King Chitraketu, and the relationship between them, as Bhagavatam explains, it's a relationship between mother and son. Now what happened there? Why that relationship failed? If there is a relationship between mother and son, will a mother curse the son? No, isn't it? Generally not. A mother is a well-wisher. Why she should curse the son? That's the second relationship we are going to see. The third relationship is between Lord Shiva and Parvati themselves. Something has happened between them. About their understanding. Yeah? That also we are going to see. First one, as a friend, when Chitraketu was cursed, Lord Shiva did not wish any bad thing for Chitraketu. He did not wish anything because they were considered as god brothers. Being god brothers, he did not wish anything. Although Lord Shiva took that as a criticism, in a joking manner, and therefore he did not take it very seriously. The second relationship between mother and son. Mother Parvati cursed Chitraketu because Chitraketu has actually done an offense to an exalted person, and therefore he needs correction. Yes? Whenever a mistake is done, a correction factor has to be applied. Yes? So that is the second aspect. Then third aspect, between Parvati and Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva did not take this seriously, but Mother Parvati took it. Yeah? And that relationship, we are going to see what has happened. Yeah? Why, although she considers Chitraketu, Mother Parvati considers Chitraketu as a son, yet she cursed him. So there is something there. We have to talk about the relationship. We'll talk one over the other, okay, soon. We are discussing this fact, these aspects, with the understanding that exchanges of this particular episode works based on affection, love and humility. That is what it is involved. These exchanges of love, humility, yeah, happens only in the culture of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, the affection of a genuine Vaishnava can be understood here. In that context, we are going to see. We are not going to talk in the material context. Okay? We are talking in the context of respect, love, and humility. Okay. The first one. Okay? Between friendship, okay? Now, I'm going to pose a question and then we will answer. Although Chitraketu knew exalted position of Lord Shiva, he knew Lord Shiva has got a very exalted Vaishnava. His position is, you know, very, very high, basically. And then, why did he criticize? Still, why did he criticize? Even after knowing Lord Shiva's position as very powerful, yet why did Chitraketu criticize Lord Shiva or criticize in a joking manner? Why did he do that? The answer is, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has commented on that. He's one of our previous acharyas. We've got many acharyas here. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is answering that question. He's saying there are several reasons, okay? But the main reasons he's concentrating is Chitraketu and Lord Shiva are both devotees of Sankarshan, and thus they are treated like God brothers. Chitraketu did not want a senior God brother to be criticized by ignorant people. So, he tried to correct Lord Shiva's behavior. Otherwise, foolish people would misunderstand his actions very easily. You got the point? The internal reason is, Chitraketu, he did not want all the foolish people to think that, oh, Lord Shiva is doing like this, so I'll also do. That's a major cause. And also, he don't want people to criticize Lord Shiva. Not that he's criticizing. So rather, he was trying to correct his behavior in a very subtle way. But it went little bit on the opposite side. Little bit, you know. Laughing, joking and all that. Then, that is the first one we saw. The second one is between mother and son. Why did Parvati curse Chitraketu even after she considers him as his child, son? He's saying putra. Normally, a mother doesn't curse a child, a son. But he is doing it. Why is that? For that, we have to understand the mood of Mother Parvati. So what we are doing is, we are in sixth canto. Slightly we will take a detour. Detour, we will take you to canto 4. Canto 4 to Daksha Yagya. Daksha is performing at that canto 4. Daksha is a Prajapati. Yeah? He is performing a big sacrifice. In that sacrifice, he invited everyone, all exalted personalities, sages, demigods, Brahma, but he did not invite Lord Shiva, nor Sati. Parvati's previous birth was Sati, that is, again, wife of Lord Shiva, but in the fourth canto, it is said that her name was Sati. Now, she, being the husband of Lord Shiva, Sati did not like. She was thinking, why did my own father, he's so much against Lord Shiva, dishonoring him, disrespecting him all the time. So I cannot tolerate this. And to top of that, he has not invited my husband, who is an exalted personality, to this yagya. And therefore, I am going to speak to my father. I can't leave it like this. So what she decided to go and see his father. But at that time, Lord Shiva told her, please do not go. You will be insulted. You will be humiliated. Please do not go. But she did not want to tell Lord Shiva that she is going to convince her father. But she said, oh, I am going to see my sisters, my mother. I have not my father as well. I have not seen them for a very long time. And therefore, please, she pleaded, please allow me to go. I want to go to my parents' house and have a look at all my sisters and all that. That's the purpose. But internally, her purpose was to go and tell her father, why are you dishonoring Lord Shiva? It's not good for you. That was the purpose. But anyway, Lord Shiva said, and she said, no, I am going, and she left. But Lord Shiva was not happy at that point, okay? Husband was not happy when Sati left. Now, what happened? As all of us know, in the Yagya, Lord Shiva was disrespected by Daksha, and therefore there was a big fight happening, counter cursing, and a big fight was happening, and Lord Shiva was basically dishonored. When Sati came to know this, that her husband was dishonored and disrespected in the assembly, what did Sati do? Burnt herself. She could not tolerate. So she burnt herself to death and she died. Now, couple of thoughts for us, yeah, to meditate upon. We all know that Sati is a form of Durga, okay? She is Mother Durga, actually. Different incarnation. Sati is like a very powerful Mother Durga, who is in charge of this material world. Why did she burn herself? Although she is very powerful. See, she could have burned the whole universe. She could have burned many dakshas. Yeah? Burning one daksha is not a problem. Many daksha, if daksha multiplies 9 times, she can burn very quickly. But instead of doing that, she burnt herself. Why is that?
Because Daksha gave her a body.
Daksha gave her a body, in one sense, okay. And then anything else?
Maybe set an example for all future wives to their husband's image to be priority.
Okay, to set and teach an example. Yeah? Anything else, Mother? No, this is Daksha, no, he's not burning. Daksha. Daksha is a father. That's what Prabhu said, no? To teach, set an example. Because one will not burn the father. Yeah, all these are correct. But technically the reason is, she's in a subordinate position. A daughter is always subordinate to the father, right? Parents, daughter or a son. We cannot overthrow the parents. She's in a very subordinate position. And therefore, although, you know, she has got a lot of power, she cannot do anything. Because it's the father. How can you, you know, react to your father? You have to have some, they'll say, have some humility, respect your father, you know, like that. So therefore, because she was in an inferior position, what she did was, all she could do is, she could not exercise her power on her father. When she could not do anything, what else can she do? She said, I am unable, I could hear my husband's disrespecting comments from everywhere. People are dishonoring my husband. I do not want to hear. Although I've got power, I cannot exercise my power on others. And therefore, the only solution for me is, I want to end my life. It's a very serious matter. So Sati burnt herself to death. Then, in the next birth, she became Parvati and she married Lord Shiva. Now from this, what do you understand? That Parvati has got a very close affection and relationship with Lord Shiva. Correct? She loves her husband very much. Very deep relationship existing from birth after birth. We can see that from this example, fourth canto we have seen. Now the sixth canto. And therefore, if she sees someone, already she is so upset with her father dishonoring, Daksha dishonoring husband. And she burnt herself to death. Okay? And now she is in a situation that, I don't want anyone to dishonor my husband. Okay? This is the state she is in. She killed herself because of not hearing the blasphemy of her husband. So she doesn't want to hear. For example, you know how sometimes we say, I don't want this, that's the end of it. Don't even dare to show it to me, that's the end of it. Now again, if someone shows that, you get annoyed, irritated. So she was at that point. Okay, now I don't want everyone, I want to at least, if not respect, do not dishonor my husband. This is her mood from the previous birth. And now, imagine someone jokingly or friendingly, if they criticize you, will she keep quiet? No. This is what has happened. Although she is a mother, she could not stop reacting. Now, the same incident she might have remembered, whatever, probably. Yeah? When my husband was dishonored, I burnt myself. Now this time, I am not going to leave you because you are not my father. I can exercise my power on you. Because Chitraketu is, she was thinking, Chitraketu has just saw Lord Sankarshan. Like sometimes we say, some of the devotees just come 1 month, through 2 months, 1 year. We take them, okay, it's just, they've come now, you know, like that. New devotee. So she thought, okay, Chitraketu is just recently had a darshan of Lord Sankarshan. And recently he got this aeroplane which is going. He's not like an elevated personality like Lord Shiva, who's basically a controller. He's not like that. So therefore, that made her to curse him, Chitraketu. Now, in that relationship between mother and son, mother reason we saw, right? So she was forced to curse because she was very sensitive to anyone disrespecting Lord Shiva. Very sensitive. And someone touched on that point, she reacted back by telling that. Now from the Chitraketu point of view, what did he do? He had a power also. He's very powerful. Chitraketu, King Chitraketu Maharaj. He could have retaliated. He could have counter-cursed. Come on, what are you doing? He has got that power. But what did he do? Very obediently, like a sincere son. What did he say? He said, "Oh mother, I accept your curse. I will become a demon." See? So, this relationship is based on affection and humility and love, isn't it? It is not that, oh, this is exactly opposite to what happened in the Daksha's case. In the Daksha sacrifice, everyone was cursing and counter-cursing. Each one. Brahmana's cursing other person cursing Brahmana. They took the weapon, killing each one. And finally, Daksha's head was cut off. So much of, anxiety, and imagine all of us are fighting there, each one holding the shirt, and come on, how will it look? So this happened in Daksha's. So here, it is a very smooth transaction. She cursed and she said, "My son, I'm cursing you." And why did she curse? Why did Mother Parvati curse? Because of the insensitiveness, and because if someone misbehaves with a senior Vaishnava, they have to be corrected. This is our culture. We can't go let free, let go everything. Okay, you did a mistake. No, because the same person will be continuously doing more and more mistakes. And therefore, he needs correction. Chitraketu needs correction. So the correction has come in the form of a curse. That is, for Mother Parvati, Chitraketu accepted the curse because he is also going to be beneficial. Because he knew that with the next birth, I'm going back to Godhead. So he accepted the curse. So it's a win-win situation for both. See, the offense has to be corrected. So Mother Parvati did a correction by cursing him. Chitraketu accepted the curse, he did not counteract because of his humility. And he also knew that when I take a body of a demon, that is my last birth because I am going to Lord Vishnu. So this is interwoven in this combination. And then the next question is, we answered that question, right? Now between husband and wife, okay? Listen to this question. Although Lord Shiva could understand the mood of Chitraketu nicely, why did not Parvati understand that? Because both are husband and wife. Okay, Chitraketu Maharaj jokingly criticized Lord Shiva. Because they are friends, okay? We are friends, so I did not take it. But the friend's wife took it seriously. Why is that? It is said in the later chapters and also in this chapter. In the next chapter. Later part of this chapter, it is said that Lord Shiva expresses his displeasure to Mother Parvati, saying, "Oh, Parvati, you have done a mistake. Your work is not sensible. You have not used your sense when you cursed." So, between husband and wife, the husband was not happy about the wife's dealing because the wife has done something without the consent of the husband. But Lord Shiva did not tell in a rough manner. You know, we as a husband, we know. Anything with the wife has to be told gently. Otherwise, problem. The other day, my wife put little bit more salt in one of the cooking. Then, 1 minute I thought, I have to tell her, this is a position like Mother Parvati for me. I have to tell her, but what about if she curses me? So I was thinking, let me use my sense. Then I said, my wife Jayashree, basically you cook very nicely. All your dishes are good. But if you have not put extra salt, I tell you, this is the best. But next time, not be careful. Be careful, will come back to us. Next time, when you do the salt, you know, imagine, think that you are a good cook. Then all will be okay. That's what I'll say. Then all are coming in place. Now no more salt. And also, I should also think, when she's cooking 1 hour before, no argument. If I argue anything with regard to chanting also, hey, I think you missed that hare. Finished. The salt will be there, or I cannot take too much chili also, you know, normally. So that more pepper can come, chilies can come. So therefore, 1 hour before cooking or something, just take it easy, okay? Okay, and then you can tell later, after the cooking is done, you cannot revert back. Yeah? Then you can say, see, you know, like that. In the later part of the same chapter, it is said that Srila Prabhupada is writing, okay, not me. Srila Prabhupada comment. Srila Prabhupada in his purport later comments that there is a difference in understanding between male and female even in the higher planetary system, in the higher status of life, that is between Lord Shiva and his wife. See? We are thinking we have some issues, right, with the man and woman in this world. No. Even in the higher status, Lord Shiva's position is almost, you know, is beyond the three modes, you know. He is on the Brahma Jyoti level. Even there also, there is a higher, subtle difference between the mentality of man and woman. Prabhupada is saying. Okay. Even in the higher status of life, there is a difference in understanding between man and wife, man and woman. So, Lord Shiva did not wish his friend to be cursed because he took it as a joke. But Mother Parvati did not take it as a joke. Understanding is different. How dare you are to criticize my husband, and therefore she took it in a different level. The level matters. Yeah? So, this is what is that? I talked about the three relationships, we explained the question. Now, quickly we are going to see how Bhagavatam is nothing but a lesson for all of us to learn from first canto to the 11th canto. There is a lot of lessons about curses. So basically Bhagavatam is a story of offenses or curses. We are going to see that quickly. We are not going to dwell on it, okay? So I want your input. Sit down, Prabhu. Don't worry. Your boss will not do anything. Today is Ekadashi. You have got a lot of power. In the first canto, Parikshit Maharaj did an offense against whom? This is a quiz. In the first chapter, in the first canto, all of you, Parikshit Maharaj did an offense against whom? Saumika Rishi. Good. $1 million to you. Second question, there is in that canto 2, we do not have much because it's about explain about creation. Canto 3, Jaya Vijay committed an offense against? Good. 500,000 to you, both of you. Canto 4, Daksha Prajapati offended? Yes. Good. Canto 5. King Raghuguna offended? Good. 6th canto. King Chitraketu offended? That is open book. This is not closed book, open book. Okay. Canto 7. Hiranyakashipu offended? Pralad Maharaj. 8. King Indradumna offended? Agastya Rishi. And then he was cursed to become a dull like elephant. Then 9. Durvasa Muni offended? King Ambarish Maharaj. Number 10. Saubara Muni offended? Garuda. Correct. Canto 11. The Yadus offended? The great sages. You know? That is why they were cursed. Krishna's dynasty came to an end because of the offense. But it's a play. Externally, internally. Internally it's a play, but externally it's an offense. Krishna's dynasty has come because of offense. So imagine how important is it. Now, I would like to draw your attention to, very quickly, to Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 4th chapter, 46th verse. What does it say? Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami is talking to Parikshit Maharaj. He says, my dear king, when a man disrespects or ill-treats or blasphemes, any word you can put, great souls, great elevated personalities, what will happen? The result is, all his benedictions of long life, beauty, fame, religion, blessings, and promotion to higher planetary system, including Vaikuntha, will be destroyed. Very serious. Bhagavatam itself is saying, after talking about all these personality offenses, this is the 10th canto. Bhagavatam is saying, listen, guys, be careful, okay? Just take it easy when it comes to, do not exercise your powers, okay? Because your power is useless, yeah? And so, the question is, final lesson, what is the lesson we are taking home? We are not taking today paneer sabji. We are not taking today sagu pakoda. But what are we taking home? Today we are taking home this one. What is this? As devotees, we do lot of seva, and during the seva, we also commit aparas, offenses. We may change services. For example, oh, this devotee is my enemy. I'm not going to come into the kitchen. This devotee is my friend, so I will do arati service. This devotee is neutral, so I will sing with him. This is not going to work. Okay? You may change your seva, your services, but the aparad still remains. This is what we have to think, what we are going to do. The solution is up to you, what you are going to do. Yeah? So remember, just by changing the seva, changing your service, aparad is not going to go away. Okay? That is a thought we have to do. Okay. So, we will stop here. Any quick questions or comments? Hare Krishna.
If we commit aparad to a Vaishnava, if we unfortunately commit aparad to a Vaishnava, how should we remedy the situation?
Do you know that? You know the answer, right?
I want to hear it from you, Prabhu.
All the scriptures say that you have to go back to the same person
and ask for forgiveness, not to his friend. Same person, keep on pursue him to forgive you. And if he still, your offense is very huge, intolerable offense, then the only thing is take shelter of Krishna, because by constant shelter of Krishna, you get the Lord's mercy. That's the only way. Either the first and the foremost is you should try to get forgiveness from that devotee. That's the topmost. But in the event that that devotee is not willing because the offense is too great, or he cannot forgive you, it's a very serious offense and all that, then you must take, or we must take shelter of, constantly take shelter of the holy name, because that is our protection. And Krishna will help us. Sincerely, we have to repent for it as well. Not just, you know, I'm chanting, I'll be okay. Again, go on criticizing. No. The reason it is said that we have to go and ask forgiveness is, we not repeat it. Mistakes, we learn from the mistakes. We don't repeat the mistakes. It is said even in the material circles that if you repeat the same mistake, you are a fool. In the office, you know, if you do the same mistake again, your boss will say, are you a fool? Because same mistake you're repeating again. Yeah? So, same mistakes. So, like that, we have to be careful. But generally, preferably, why do we do an offense? Because we think that we are in a superior position and the other person is inferior due to that particular moment. You know, it's just a momentary. And then later on, by the time you regret, it will be a great mistake. So therefore, Shastra and scriptures tell us, always try to be humble in the association of devotees. Preferably, you know, try to be that. And for that, you know, we have to give the mic, Prabhu, to him.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you very much for a wonderful class. On the last question, my comment is, the Lord doesn't excuse, because in case of Ambarish Maharaj, Lord said, no, to Durvasa Muni, you have to go back to Ambarish Maharaj. If he excuses you, then only you can be saved. And not only that, Ambarish Maharaj excused him and also prayed to Sudarshan Chakra that he made a mistake. Whatever good deeds I have done, please take care of that and then let him go back.
That is right. But the context here, what I said was, in the event that Ambarish Maharaj did not forgive, what he would have done? That is the question. In this case, the devotee forgave him. He said, fine. But in the event, I said, in the event, if the devotee whom you are going to, if he refuses to forgive you, then that is the option I gave. Yeah?
Not only forgive, he also prayed to Sudarshan that whatever my whole family, my generations, whatever piety we have done, so please excuse on that basis and please go back to Lord.
Yes, that is right. And also it depends on the intensity.
Now the other thing is, on the same point, can you offend your spiritual master? Never, ever.
Why will someone offend, Prabhu?
You should.
Why will someone offend?
Indra did, and he had to suffer.
Yeah, but that is what Bhagavatam, we learn from the mistake, right? After reading Bhagavatam, why will we do the offense?
Correct.
So we have to be careful, that's the point, yeah?
That's the main thing. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.